And the Nightingale, well, that seemed to keep on all night. I had good training in listening to him. But during the daytime, we heard the other birds, and we pointed them out to the children, when possible. But of course, when you get a gang of children, you get a lot of noise and the birds are quiet. But we saw swallows and house martins and swifts, which I'd learnt about naturally in Hampshire. The woods were coppiced. My father had taught me about trees, so I could pass it on to others. And they were able to identify the silver birch trees and the large leaves of the sycamore and the great trunks of the oaks with their sheltering branches. And then there were the hazel trees with the nuts in the autumn. And, of course, it's the one that has the sloes at the end of the year. And people who drink gin know about sloes, don't they? But poetry had to wait years. And after many job changes, although I wrote articles and stories and kept my pen working, it was after the office work of the war, I wanted to get out of offices. Somebody I had loved dearly had died during the war, and I wanted just to get away from the atmosphere of the office. And so I went to work on farms and learned about the countryside the hard way. I knew about sheep and lambs. I used to feed a little lamb. That was in Somerset. And then I learned a lot about cows in Staffordshire, and then pigs and horses in Lincolnshire. And of course, I fell in love several times all along the way, but I always shared the walks and the countryside with whoever I was going out with, until in Lincolnshire I met Tom and I was married, and then we went to live in Hampshire. Meanwhile, I'd written short stories and things like that, serials for a magazine, and when my daughter was small, I contributed articles for the Nursery World. I was a part-time writer on and off over many years. Wherever I lived, I found something of interest, but I always enjoyed reading poetry. Then, when I came to live in Sussex and joined the U3A poetry group, that was when I really began to use my wildlife knowledge and experiences to put into verse. Been quite a number published, and I've had prizes and won competitions, but never enough to make one's fortune, I'm afraid. Only the satisfaction of weaving a picture or a feeling or sounds or sense into words in a way that they would pass on to others. So may I finish with one of my recent ones, which I think might interest you. I've just called it Robin's Lament. I like to be heard. Humans always say robins have very good songs. I know they give credit where credit belongs. I perch on a tree branch right near to your shoulder, and you rush on heedless. How can I be bolder and tell you the bittersweet song they acclaim includes my resentment and furious blame? You laugh at me. I like to be seen. Yes, I know when you're digging, I sit on your fork. You think it's your doing, and then you will talk of, my robin's here, so I'll dig him a worm. But if you knew how I squiggle and squirm when you ignore my beauty, oh, why can't you say he's the loveliest bird that I've seen in my day? Don't laugh at me. I like to be loved. Your Christmas cards echo with pictures of holly and mistletoe puddings and bells all so jolly. Then I'm there with brown rings and red breasts complete. Yet you say, cheeky robin, not, isn't he sweet? I eat up all kinds of scraps just to please you. You still think I'm crazy and comical too. My maker designed me to stand with feet wide and peer at you lovingly, head on one side. Please give me your love. And with that, I'll send my love. I'm signing off, Margaret. Bye-bye.